And now, if you'll turn in your Bibles today to the book of James, chapter 4. In the fourth chapter of the book of James, the very last verse is my text, verse 17. But first, a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy timeless word. We ask for the arresting power of the Holy Spirit. Calm our souls before Thee. Bring into subjection every thought of our hearts. Drive away the opposing powers. May the Holy Spirit speak to every heart, again bringing salvation to the lost, bringing courage to those who are weak, bringing strength to those who need more power, and bringing us all to the place where we can be used of Thee. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I'd like for you to join me and read that one verse, will you? James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. A few years ago, on the University of California campus at Berkeley, termites ate through a large stack of books that were stored in the mailing room. You know what the name of that book was? You guessed it. How to Control Termites. The moral of that story is this. To know good is not necessarily to do good. A lot of people know what's good, but they're not doing it. Basically, I think there must be at least two kinds of Christians in the world today. Group number one are like the three little monkeys that see no evil, hear no evil, and do no evil. The other group, too, they're like the three little monkeys also. They see no good, hear no good, and do no good. I'm hard put to decide which is least desirable in the church. I'm saying that to say this. The two categories of sin are basically, one, the sins of commission, and two, the sins of omission. The sins of commission are those things that we do in an overt act of mind or body that are wrong. Everybody knows what it is to commit a wrong. Sin of commission. But on the other hand, sin that is just as great, and you just read it, you don't have to take my word for it. You just read it in James 4:17. To him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The sin of omission, omitting, leaving out of your life the things that you ought to put in. Now I want to say to you this morning that if as a Christian you are leaving the church out of your life, you are sinning. Somebody said, well, I'm not leaving the church out. I'm here this morning. I will go a step further to say, if you are not actively involved in the ministry of the church, you're sinning every day that you live. To him that knoweth to do good. If you know it's good to be faithful in your stewardship and you're not, you're sinning. if you know that it's good to attend church regularly and all of the stated services of the church that you can attend by virtue of your health and strength to do so, and you don't do it, I believe to you it is a sin. If you are not witnessing for Christ, and you know that's the thing a Christian ought to do, it is a sin. My text makes it plain, unmistakably clear, that to do nothing is a sin. And I believe, it is my conviction, that the sins of omission are hurting the church and the cause of Christ today far greater than the sins of commission. I am not so much concerned about what people are doing as I am about what people are not doing that they ought to do for God. So my message to you this morning is simply the sin of doing nothing. To do nothing in the first place is to fail in fulfilling your mission in life. How often have I heard it said, I'm too busy to be bothered. Don't talk to me about prayer meeting. Don't talk to me about visitation. Don't talk to me about serving the Lord through the ministry of the church. Don't talk to me about teaching a class. I'm too busy. You know what the cry of the Christian is today? Almost in unison, Christians are saying, leave us alone. We know that every time we breathe, four people go into eternity who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. But leave us alone. We know that boys and girls are needing someone to go out and take the gospel to them and to teach a Sunday school class, but leave us alone. We know that men are dying and souls are crying, but leave us alone. I'm too busy to be bothered. My friend, let me say this to you this morning in all kindness. If your life is so involved in work, in pleasure, in play, in recreation, in family affairs, if you are too busy to serve God, then you're too busy. And if you cannot find a way to curtail your activities, God can. Let me repeat. If you are too busy to serve God and attend church and witness for Christ and to share your part of the load, you're too busy. And if you can't reduce your activities, God can. Besides all that, I'm not going to leave you alone. I cannot be true to my calling and fair to my conscience not to disturb you with the truth of God's word. I will not, because I cannot, leave you alone. I must challenge you to higher ground. I must point to better things ahead. I must, as your pastor, lead you into a building program and lead you to enlargement and ask you and challenge you to help me, because God will not let me leave you alone. I said it last Sunday. I think it bears repeating. You, as a member of Worth Baptist Church, will never be comfortable on that pew with a 2-inch cushion. You will never be comfortable if you think you can come to church and the preacher never tell you what you ought to do in the light of God's word. I will not leave you alone. In the short years of my ministry, I have learned two or three things, and I'm learning every day. But one thing I have learned particularly is this. If you want something done, ask a busy man to do it. For as I searched the Word of God and the annals of secular history as well as sacred history, I've learned two things about every man that God has ever called. Number one, every man that God has ever called was busily engaged in some worthwhile task when God called him. And two, every man whom God called, he gave a specific job to do. Let's call the roll. Noah, present and accounted for. Noah, did God give you a job to do? Yes, I was out there and I had a housing project going. And I had my mind set on making a whole lot of money, but God said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. I want you to preserve my people. Moses, here unaccounted for. Moses, what did God want you to do? What were you doing when God called you? Well, I was out on the backside of the desert. I was a shepherd. I was keeping my father-in-law's sheep, and all of a sudden I came upon a bush. A bush that burned and was not consumed. And I heard a voice out of that bush that said to me, Moses, Moses, take off the shoes from thy feet, for the ground upon which thou standest is holy ground. I was 80 years old, but I listened to God. And God said, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh. I want you to deliver my people out of Egypt. David, here unaccounted for. David, what were you doing when God called you? Well, I was just a little boy, about 12 years old, tending my daddy's sheep. And God laid his hand on me. God said, David, I want you to rule my people Israel. God made me a king. He gave me something to do. Everybody here knows the name J.C. Penney. Chances are you've got on some of his clothes right now. J.C. Penney is one of the most outstanding Christian laymen in the world today. And J.C. Penney started out with this motto in life, I am going to give God one-tenth of all I ever make. And J.C. Penney is one of the richest men in the United States today who has invested literally thousands of dollars in the cause of Christ. Most of you know the name D.L. Moody. For D.L. Moody shook two continents for Christ and preached literally to thousands. Because God brought him out from behind the shoe salesman's counter and put him on the road plowing with a gospel plow. I'm saying all of that to say this, that God has something for every one of you to do. I wish that more of us could be like the little old lady that I read about. It seems she was going down the street one day. She had her head tied up in a shawl and an apron on, and she looked very poor. And she folded the apron up, and as she went down the street, she was picking up something and putting it in the apron all the time she was going down the street. Like it was something that somebody else had dropped of value, and she was putting it in her apron. And a rookie policeman, wanting to show his authority, walked up to her and said, Ma'am, what are you putting in your apron? Show me or I'll run you in. She said, gladly, sir. And she opened up her apron. And what was there? Nails, pieces of broken glass, sharp instruments that she was picking up off the street. He said, Ma'am, why on earth are you doing that? And she said, Mister, a whole lot of children walk through here barefooted, and they're liable to get their feet cut. There's some glass for you and me to pick up. There's some sharp objects out there for you and me to pick up so somebody else coming behind us won't get hurt. There's a job for us to do. Oh, but somebody says, Preacher, I'm not a Noah. I can't build an ark. You can paddle a canoe, can't you? I'm not Moses. I can't lead a congregation of 2.5 or 3 million. But you can gather a few people around you and tell them about Jesus, can't you? I'm not a David. I can't rule upon a throne of a nation. But you can be a king over that little domain that God has given you. In the home, in the church, on the job. I'm not a J.C. Penney. I can't invest thousands of dollars in the cause of Christ. No. But you can be faithful in your stewardship, can't you? For after all, mister, listen to me. It is not what you would do if riches were your lot. It's what you're doing with 100.5 you got that really counts. I'm not a D.L. Moody. I can't preach to multiplied thousands. No. But you can teach a little class of boys and girls, can't you? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let us, beloved, beware of a do-nothing Christianity. Jesus said it. If ye know these things and do them, happy are ye. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To do nothing. To do nothing as a Christian is to fail in fulfilling the mission in your life. Secondly, to do nothing is to disobey the Lord's command. You know, I want to prove this to you from the Word of God. It is better not to have known than to know and not do. Let me repeat. I said it is better not to have known than to know and not to do. Hear it from the Word of God. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For it had been better. Are you listening? For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It is better not to have known than to know and not to do. Jesus didn't give but one command to the church. It's summarized in one word, G-O, go. Now here's a word of great depth and great dimension. It's in two phases. Phase one means to go across the street. Phase two means to go across the sea. Our missionaries, and this is Mission Sunday, our missionaries have answered phase two. They have gone across the sea with great involvement, with tremendous sacrifices. Did you know that some of our missionaries are across the sea while their own flesh and blood, their children, their children are in the United States depending on somebody else to take care of them. And some of us say, well, I can't go to prayer meeting because I've got to take care of the children. It's a wonder God doesn't take them away from you. I can't go to prayer meeting. I can't visit because of my family. It's a wonder God doesn't take your family away from you. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Are we bold enough and daring enough to say that we can't serve God because God's given us a family? We ought to all the more serve God with a family. Because the children need it. And mother and daddy need it. Surely if our missionaries can answer phase two across the sea, we can answer phase one and go across the street. I'm reminded of the man whom Queen Elizabeth asked one time to go on a mission to a foreign country for her. And he said, "Now, my dear Majesty, I find it impossible for me to go on this mission because I must stay at home and take care of my business." And the queen said, "Mister, if you go and take care of my business, I'll take care of your business." That's exactly what Jesus meant when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." Jesus said, "Go, and I'll go before you." Jesus said, "Go, and I'll go with you." Jesus said, "Go, and I'll go above you." Jesus said, "Go, and I'll go behind you." Jesus said, "Go, and I'll go on either side of you." We ought to say, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me wherever I be, if he is there. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Here's the divine prescription. Listen carefully. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Jesus said, "Go." Let us beware of a do-nothing Christianity. Hear me carefully when I say this. It is far easier for us to go and do whatever God has commanded us to do than it is for us to face the consequences of not doing it. I say that again. It is far easier for us to go and do whatever God has commanded, regardless of what it is, than for us to face the consequences of not doing it. Amen. To do nothing is to disobey God's command. Third and finally, to do nothing is to yield to Satan's devices. Someone has said, "An idle mind is the devil's workshop." Someone else said, and I think this bears repeating, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." Let me paraphrase that and relate it to the church. The only thing that you and I need to do to cause suffering to the cause of Christ and the church is nothing. For you see, if as a church member and as a believer and as a Christian, you are not engaged in something constructive, chances are you'll be engaged in something destructive. The devil will see to that. If you are not praying, you're likely to be criticizing. If you're not pushing, you're likely to be dragging your feet. If you are not pulling, you're likely to be kicking. Did you ever see a horse pull and kick at the same time? A horse can't kick while pulling, and he can't pull while kicking. You'll either be pulling or kicking. If you're not positive, chances are you'll be negative. If you're not paying, chances are you'll be scrounging on somebody else. We have a lot of church members who rent pews, and they pay the rent once in a while. Again, to him. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Beloved, let us beware. Let us beware of a do-nothing Christianity. That's all the devil wants, is for you and me to sit down and do nothing. To do nothing is to fail to fulfill the mission in your life. To do nothing is to disobey the Lord's command. To do nothing. To do nothing is to yield yourself to the devices of Satan. What are you doing? What are you doing for Christ? What are you doing for the church? What are you doing? Say, I have this one footnote for my unsaved friends this morning. For you to do nothing about your soul salvation is for you to be eternally lost. Somebody might ask, what must I do to be lost? The answer? Nothing. Nothing. You don't have to do anything to be lost. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. You don't have to do anything to be lost. But there's another question. What must I do to be saved? And here's the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for the truth of the gospel and of Thy blessed word. We know Thy word is sharp and it pierces us like a dagger. For we realize that we have done so little. Help us to do more. Help us not to be guilty of the sins of omission, of doing nothing. Help us to witness, to talk to others about Jesus, to be regular and faithful in church attendance, to do the things that we ought to do. For those, Heavenly Father, who may not have the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and they've never trusted Him, may they come this morning, even now, to trust Him as Savior. May they cry out for mercy to Thee, may they open the door of their heart and let Jesus come in. For those who are seeking a church home, may they come today and unite with Worth Baptist. For those, Heavenly Father, who need courage to do more, to be strengthened, to step up on a higher rung of the ladder of service, may they come today and find that courage and that strength about this altar of prayer. Whatever the needs are, may they be supplied even as we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake.